Greetings. On behalf of the St. John's United Methodist Church family, I want you to get ready to have life spoken into you. These messages that you're going to hear by audio or video are carefully crafted that they might feed your faith and starve your doubts. We pray that God will make you stronger and will prepare you for the destiny that He's called you to live into, not only in the week to come, but in the rest of your life through how God speaks to us through His text and through these servants. We treat it with precious honor that we are gifted and given the opportunity to feed your faith. And so now, get ready, receive, and know that God has a word for you.
Please stand for the reading of the scripture. This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 13a through 14. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. This is the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth, O God, and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable, for you are our rock and our redeemer, and it is in your name we pray. God's people said, amen. That is the call of the birth of Christ before us, to proclaim, or as I said to you on last week, to claim Christ as Lord and Savior, love and light for our lives. And we began our journey in this Advent season focused in on the place, not only physically, but the place in our heart that God would call us to name. Physically, we call it Bethlehem. We discovered on last week as we began our journey talking about Bethlehem as the place of belief that there are two places in Bethlehem that we can note and name. One is Zebulun, the other is Judah. Judah established Bethlehem in a second weir or second phase of naming that place of proclamation in that place known as 1 Kings chapter 17. But we cannot ignore the first place known as the Bethlehem of Zebulun. So today I want to ask you to consider with me the place known as Bethlehem as Zebulun. And I want to tell you that Zebulun was a difficult place to live in, full of challenge and query and quagmire. And if you have looked at the news just like I have this week, you know that Bethlehem still has those elements in it. In fact, just a block away from our embassy, Palestinians and Jews continue to struggle with their claim of where the center place of all faith ought be. So today I want to talk to you about Bethlehem, the place of Bedlam. Reverend Katie described in definition terms the context for it quite well. What I want to ask you is to consider, is Bedlam, this place known as Bethlehem for our work today, has Bedlam hit your walk, your life, your week journey, your place of stay? I know for me in the last several weeks, I've discovered various elements of Bedlam taking place in my journey. And for you, I would assume, given the nature of this season, you too have faced it. So I want to get right to it and ask you to walk with me through this conversation on Bedlam, because I believe that Bedlam offers us a place not only to give God praise, but to be granted power and to receive God's promise that Bethlehem would eventually return to its place of peace for our lives. There's a book that I promised I would offer you in attention this week, and I will do so. It will be, I'm pretty sure, our focal point for study next year. I'm already thinking about that. It's entitled Finding Bethlehem in the Midst of Bedlam. Finding Bethlehem in the Midst of Bedlam. It's written by a really pragmatic and helpful author, a preacher named James W. Moore, and as he describes Bethlehem, he says Bethlehem in his heart and mind offers us this wisdom, that Christ breaks into our confusion and brings Christmas, and Bethlehem always happens in the midst of Bedlam. How many of you noted that it seems like almost every Christmas season there is some confrontation or upfront action that happens in that great historical place about 5 miles outside of Jerusalem known as Bethlehem during the Advent season? It always seems that whenever we get close to the time of the birth of Christ, there is some instance that happens amidst these persons who live in that region. I want to get back there at some point, and I want to show you a couple of pictures, if we're able to do so, of this place known as Bethlehem. A couple of years ago, Emma and I were able to go there, and we had the time of our journey, time of our life there. We were amazed at how God spoke through those moments and those times, those places we visited. This is on the rooftop of the hotel that we were in. We literally were downtown about half a mile from the church of Nativity, and as you can see, it is not, as some would make it to be, as a quiet place as it is. It's a hustling, bustling city, but at night it becomes calm. In fact, at night it becomes almost still, with the exception of a couple of restaurants. There's a really good coffee place, and we actually found a pizza place in the middle of the night. It's a really neat place, and for some reason it gets calm and still. But by that time of the morning, you find people all around, and you will find people, even at 5 a.m., those who are Muslim, making their morning prayers, and you will hear them bounding around the city and the streets and the places that you walk. And hopefully, I would love to journey with some of you at some point there and experience just how powerful the place is. What we noted everywhere we went is, while it was a place of great peace and a great place of promise, great place of presence for us in terms of Christ, we were always told we just needed to be just a little bit aware, because the way in which people love that city so much often causes them to go over and above beyond the normal limitations, and it can flare up on occasion. Not much, but it can. We've got some groups there now. We've got some groups that are going to leave, and those folks are safe, but their antennas are up. And so it's in this place, 5 miles outside of Jerusalem, the place where the center point of where Christ is born, that we find ourselves on this day. And in chapter 2, we discover words that were so read ably by Miss Sandra. You'll note these words. It says this, that when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Now, I'm going to need your help. I'm going to finish in about the next 15 minutes, but there are going to be a couple occasions I'm going to need your help today. This is an interactive sermon. So I need you to say this when I look at you and say it. Okay, here's what I need you to say. He's not supposed to be born yet. Just remember that phrase. You're going to need it in the next couple of moments. Just let's try it. Let's practice it. Come on. He's not supposed to be born yet. You got it. Good. Okay. Let's see where we go here. All right. Chapter 2, Matthew. The Matthean text teaches us that at this point, if you have read your Bibles well, say it. At least not for Advent, right? We're not there yet. The 25th has not arrived yet. We are not at the birth of Christ yet. But our text today tells us that not only has Christ been born, but that Joseph and Mary are told to escape that city and take the child and escape to Egypt. Verse 14 says, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. The name Egypt means place of escape or place of shelter. Bethlehem means the place of bread. It also means the place of lights. It has 7 different meanings that we'll talk about the next several weeks. But one of them I need you to understand is the place, listen, strange definition for the word Bethlehem, comes out of the Aramaic phrase, place of resolve. Place of resolve. And here's the point. When James Moore talks about Christ breaking into our hearts and our minds as confusion sometimes and then brings Christmas. It is the same way with this place of Bethlehem as they experience it in their lives. You got to remember, for Joseph and for Mary, the Christ story teaches us in their young lives, they had not planned this, had not anticipated this, but it came anyways. Point of personal privilege here. Have you ever experienced something that you had not planned, had not anticipated, but it came in your life anyhow, and you were forced to deal with it in spite of? Or is it just me? That's what happens. Whenever Bethlehem, whenever the promise and power of God shows up, I need to say this to you so you will remember this for the rest of your journey. Bedlam will always be short quickly after. No good thing is left to remain good without some challenge at some point. And to this end, we discover in the text that Jesus the Christ has been born. The Magi have brought their gifts. Other things have happened. And as the text teaches us so profoundly, as soon as that happens, here comes Herod and his boys who want to do destruction to the promise of God. The text teaches us, as you read the whole text, go home and read it for your attention. You will see that in verse 11 it says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened treasures and presented him with gifts. That's verse 11. Verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Even before Joseph and Mary have to escape to Egypt, because they have been pre-warned that you cannot stay here, because while this is a good thing, there's going to come something that's going to challenge this good thing. Even before then, the Magi are told to leave, get out of town, because trouble is coming. Friends, I don't know how to get around this. I've worked all week to figure out how I can say this to you, and I can't. So I'm just going to say it as best I know how. Bethlehem brings forth Bedlam in the world. Anytime that there's a Bethlehem moment, it's going to bring forth Bedlam. Anytime that there is good news coming, trust me, someone will always want to change it and say, it could be a little better. Anytime there's the promise of some presence of God that will shift and change things, that there'll be peace on the earth. Trust me, something, someone, somebody, somewhere will always say we could do it better, have it better, see it better, because it is. Because anything that has any value of peace and promise and power according to God's presence will always face the challenge of a painful moment. To this end, Romans 8 helps us. And we know that all things work together for good for them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. No purpose comes without the promise that there will be some moments of challenge that may bring forth some pain. It's just how life works. And to this end, I want to offer you 5 ways that Bethlehem, even though it is Bedlam, can offer you promise and power. Here they are. First, look at the text with me very carefully, and you'll discover in verse 13, section A, that Bethlehem will be somewhere we will visit, but Bethlehem will not be our residence. Let me say that again. Bethlehem will be somewhere we will visit, but Bethlehem will not be our residence. Look at verse 13 very carefully with me. The text teaches us this as we transcribe the text for our hearts. It says, when the angel had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child to Egypt. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. What's your point, Troy? What are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to reveal to you. That while Bethlehem will always bring forth the promise of some challenge known to us thematically and allegorically as Bedlam, let me give this promise to you. That it will always be a place we'll have to visit, but you don't have to keep it as your place of residence. I want to offer you this counsel. Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping endures for a night. Let me transcribe it in my own language. But it doesn't need to be with us always, or as the text says, better. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. At some point, The place where you live does not have to be the place where you always grieve and always have to grope for something that is greater. You have to make the determination in your day that you can move, you can get up, you can go somewhere else, and you can have joy. Notice the text says, even Joseph, as scared as he was, as troubled as he was, and as challenged as he was, he at least paid attention to the angel that said, you don't have to stay here. You can get up, you can go, and you can have a better day. The church needs to say to the world, it can have a better day. The church needs to not just say it, but the church needs to live it. The church needs to be the place where there are new beginnings. In fact, in Isaiah, even before the Christ child came, he said, behold, I am doing a new thing. There's always the promise of better, and always the promise of new, and always the promise of hope, and always the promise of greater, and always the promise of good, and always the promise of God, because God never stays one place and always does the same thing. God always transforms, transnew, transfixes, and transforms people for the better place that they are going to. Because we are people of the journey. Point two. Bethlehem is indeed the place of Bedlam at times, but Bedlam will be the place in the memory book behind our Egypt. Bedlam will be placed in the memory book behind our Egypt. Every once in a while, you need to escape. Every once in a while, you need to find a respite. Every once in a while, you need to find a movie. Every once in a while, it's okay to cheat on your diet and have that dessert you shouldn't have. This gives me a chance to make sure I check the box with my wife and don't get in trouble here. You're all invited to our open house today, and there'll be some things there that may not fit into your diet. It's okay. Eat them. It's okay every once in a while to watch that last sports game, friends. It's okay every once in a while not to pick up the phone and say, I just don't want to talk. Watch this. It's okay not to send an email. Blessed are those who run away from their computers, for they shall remain sane. You understand what I'm saying? Every once in a while. Every once in a while, you need an escape. Even Jesus needed an escape. Now, here's my thought. I'm just pragmatic about this. If Jesus needed a break, surely me needs a moment just to get away from Bedlam. Can I get a witness there somewhere? Okay. Point three. Bedlam is preceded and postdated by blessing. Bedlam is preceded and postdated by Bedlam. A careful study of the text will teach you in verses 1 through 10 that Jesus comes, Jesus transforms the world, Jesus gives light and hope to those who are seeking it in a dark place, and afterwards, after he returns from Egypt, he promises salvation for all who seek him, and he accomplishes what he does. And to this day, the book tells us, at the end of the book, I cheated, I read the book, and at the end of the book, it tells us we win. We win in spite of what people say. We win in spite of what's done to us. We win in spite of what we do to ourselves. We win not because of who we are, but because Christ and what he did and who he is in us, and because he is the hope of glory, as it says in Colossians chapter 3, because he is the all and the end all, because he is the light of the world. He is a Savior born. Look who's born. Born in the city of David, Christ our Lord. Look who's born, Emmanuel. Look who's born, Prince of Peace. Look who's born. And because he's born, and because he came, and because he's coming again, the promise is simply this, that Bedlam is both preceded and postdated by blessing. Here's the real good news. You can't get around God blessing you. Or as my grandmother would say, she'd say, you just can't be God-given no matter how hard you try. And that's good news for us today. The city of Bethlehem historically right now needs to hear that there will be peace even in the midst of warfare, that this thing will not complete itself until Christ comes and is seated, as we like to say in our sermon, in our prayers, at the right hand of the Father. that there is a promise that cannot be broken, and it is already post-dated, that blessing will follow. Point four, Bedlam always brings forth the star to guide us to our sanctuary of safety. Bedlam always brings forth the star to guide us to our sanctuary of safety. Verse 14, so he got up, Joseph got up, took the child, his mother, during the night and left for Egypt. We will not get into the argument about whether it's astrology or astronomy. I'm not going to have that debate with you. It is astronomy. And the bottom line is this, that Joseph at the end of the day had enough good wisdom, having been taught from the priest of the day, to look towards that star that was in the east that would guide him to safety. And he left for Egypt. He didn't stay in Egypt because he had to return to the place of promise and power. But for a minute, because he needed safety, he escaped and went to the place of escape because he knew that God wanted to ease his burden. I would say to you, friends, that if we have not needed Christmas in a long time, we sure need it now. We need a Christmas where we can sing the songs and the hymns of the day, where we can celebrate all the good things that bring us hope and joy and peace and love. And if we don't take the moment to find ourselves looking at the star and finding ourselves going towards the east and getting safety and escape from all that is going on, we have missed the opportunity of a lifetime. I said it to you again last week. I said it to you last week. I'm going to say it to you again this week. Claim Christ. Don't just cause yourself to stumble upon Christ, but claim Christ. Own Christ. Celebrate Christ. Renew Christ for yourself. Look to the east and seek him. In fact, the text tells us in one place that wise men and women seek him. It leads me to this last thing that I must proclaim to you. It is the toughest task that we have. It is the biggest life point that God calls us to live into, but it is one that is necessary for the living of these days. Here it is. Bedlam requires of the believer a bold belief. Bedlam requires of the believer a bold statement of belief. Verse 14. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. Never said a word, never preached a sermon, never wrote anything on parchment, but the actions of Joseph told people forever that he was going to follow God in God's call on his heart, regardless to what others would ask him to do. We have a world that is hurting and fractured and broken and troubled, and it is seeking God's love, and it is scary, and sometimes it seems an impossible task. Here is what Christ calls us to do, even as you and I sit in the place of worry and wonder and even fear, if we're honest about our own emotions, not just to claim Christ, but to live as a compassionate and a faithful servant of Christ in these days. The church, as I wrote to some people, should be the one that gives the world the hug in the name of Christ. The church needs to hug the world with love. The church needs to hug the world, not just with the stuff that'll help people have a meal, but with the Messiah that brings them forth the meal, that tells them that God will make a way out of no way. The world needs a hug from the church in a way that it has rarely needed it before. And the promise of God is this, that if you will find a way to escape for a moment, find your resource in Christ in Egypt, and return to the place that was once the place of Bedlam for you, known as Bethlehem, and come back with the light of Christ, the place of Bedlam will turn into the place of peace, as it says in Psalm 122, verse 6. Remember, some of you? It's been our prayer for this week for those of us who love Israel. Here's what it says. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How about this? Pray for the peace of Edwardsville. Pray for the peace of the United States. Pray for the peace of the church worldwide. Pray for the peace of the church known as St. John. Pray for the peace. Find an escape and return with the heart of Christ, the light of his love in your soul so strongly that when you come back from Egypt, the people will see the Savior. Pray with me. God, somehow you cause these texts. Oh, I did that intentionally. You're supposed to say one thing. You ready? Ready? When did that ever stop Jesus from coming right on time? Now, let's pray. God, you come in unsuspecting, unanticipated, and unwarning ways at times. So for your grace and kindness, even when we don't want to receive it, we say, please breach, break, and pause us, even in the moment of our standard procedures for what you want to do in our lives. Help us to sing your praises, even in the midst of a world that would prefer strife over sanity. And give us the cause of your Savior, that we might live forward according to your grace and truth. This we pray, and we ask it done in Christ's name. Because while you're not supposed to be born yet, even now you live. In Christ's name we pray. God's people said. Let's sing about this one we call our Lord. Let's turn to page 240. And let's proclaim the songist words, hark, the herald angels sing. Beloved, if you are a first, second, or third time visitor, we would love to greet you with Jesus' joy, and we have a gift for you. So if you will see this wonderfully charmed woman named Miss Sylvia, who is in the back, she has a wonderful black sweater on. She wants to offer you a gift on behalf of St. John's, and those who are students, if you will see me, I want to do the same. Now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne with rejoicing. To the only wise God, our Savior, be majesty, dominion, authority, and power, both now, henceforth, and forever. God's people said. See you later at 3 o'clock.